This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. Today, we welcome Luke Dowler. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. This is John Floridis. I'm very pleased to welcome to the studio Luke Dowler. How are you doing?
How's it going, John? Thanks for having me in.
It's going great. Good to have you here in the studio talking shop with us. Your most recent release is?
It's Polarized. Polarized. Is the name of it. Yeah. It's a full record put out at the end of last year.
Great. Well, we're going to be hearing some music from that as well as some even newer music that comes from a project. And a very specific project, and I want to talk to you more about that. Right from the start, reading your bio, the line comes to me, being born in Montana but raised on the road. And beyond getting any further into that myself, I just wanted to ask you, what does that mean?
Yeah,
talk to us about where in Montana and where the road has taken you.
Well, you know, my parents grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and I think it was my dad's a proposal to my mom, which was something in the effect of, I read about this place up in Montana. I'm going there. If you want to come, let's go.
That was his, that was his marriage proposal?
That was his marriage proposal.
Tremendous.
And so he wanted to be a park ranger, but they came up here to Kalispell just off of a magazine ad, had me, and decided that needed to join the military. So my dad joined the Marines, and you know, I guess the line raised on the road really was, I mean, I was never in a place for more than, I mean, 3 years max, but from a year and a half to, you know, 3 years, lived everywhere from Japan to Hawaii to Washington, D.C., Monterey, California, and everywhere in between.
What part of Montana would you call most home to you?
Kalispell, Whitefish. I live right in between Kalispell and Whitefish, Montana. So the Flathead Valley is, I mean, physically, that's where my home, that's where my heart is, I guess. So, but honestly, I mean, I love this whole Northwest kind of quadrant of Montana, between, you know, from Darby all the way up to Eureka. It's a great area to live, to be inspired by. And when it gets cold and dark during the winters, it's a great time to be creative.
Luke, one of the quotes from your website, "I always write each song as if it's my last." I want you to talk about that and also talk about just how you go about songwriting.
Well, when I sit down to write a song, I have in my mind, I guess, that melody is always what captures me first. So a lot of times I will find a chord structure, whether it be on the piano or the guitar, and kind of hum a melody or just sort of scat certain things, you know. And a lot of times it's almost like you grab things out of thin air. You start scatting something that makes no sense, but all the, you know, then a couple other lines come in, you're like, that's what this song is about. Mm. And that gives me a little bit of an abstract start to what hopefully will become, you know, a polished finish, a piece. And, you know, when I sit down, I guess, to write the song, I mean, my goal is, for me as a personal goal, is to write, you know, the most compelling piece that I have written, something that compels me, not necessarily that compels somebody else, but something that I sit there and go, yes, if I stopped today, I could end on this note, you know. Hmm. And that's kind of, I guess that's kind of how I approach trying to write each song. It doesn't, you rarely ever get that, but that's just sort of my mindset, I guess, when I'm writing. Hmm. So
tragedy, it always comes so suddenly, just like a thief. Yeah, it comes to steal away. And there's a bullet hole deep inside of every soul. Yeah, so beautiful when you feel a space between tonight. Underneath the moonlight, incandescent pain. conscience cares, nothing for a mother's prayer. And if the nation bleeds, do we raise to make it stop tonight? Underneath the moonlight, incandescent pale white, we are still here and still alive tonight. Underneath the big sky, the stars are shining so bright, we are still here and still alive.
Luke, related to your songwriting process, I want to talk more about your 8 in 8 project.
Well, I started out at the end of 2012, coming to kind of a completion with my last record, and also, honestly, being stuck in a record deal that really wasn't quite working. And so this project was part birthed out of... frustration, like, you know what, I'm just going to write. I don't care that some of these other avenues aren't going to move forward or they're stuck or wherever they're at. I don't have time to kind of let the business side make me cynical or get held up in that end. So I'm just going to write. And it was something that I said, yeah, you know what, I want to write more, but I need to give myself deadlines because I have all these songs and pieces of songs and ideas that I've carried over. I've been carrying these things for years. I'm going to give myself a week deadline. I'm going to write a song on Monday. On Tuesday, I'm going to track it just in my home studio. And on Wednesday, I'm going to wake up and whatever hits me, I'm going to film it with my little, flip cam. whatever hits me, whatever's inspiring at the moment, and it goes out Wednesday. There's no second guessing. There's no, there's just no second guessing. So just put it out there and let it be. Let it breathe on its own. And it was really, honestly, it was scary, just because you're kind of jumping out there naked in some ways, or at least feeling like you are. And so the first song, Sorry was the title, and it just kind of, honestly, I just sat down and that one just came kind of as lyrically, just kind of trying to grab something, and because I really had nowhere to start, I wasn't going to use anything from the past. I was just going to start from square one. And so, once I started that, and it kind of gave me a little like, okay, I'm getting a workflow, because you have to get that workflow going. And the weeks following, each week brought with it its own kind of unique set of circumstances, because. I mean, it's time consuming. Let's put it that way, to really put that kind of deadline on yourself. And whatever my weekly schedule was, that kind of played a part. But it ended up, 8 songs, 8 weeks. Track one, or write it one day, track it the next, release it the next. And it's something that I've been. Carrying on in my songwriting, but I was really happy with the way the 8 and 8s turned out. It was really a productive, creative time, if nothing else.
Some of those videos are really pretty funny,
yeah.
and intentionally so.
Well, I think that as serious as I want to take songwriting personally, I also don't want to take myself too seriously, and so part of the video. Kind of process for me is I can't give you a real answer as to, hey, we thought this out and this is what it was going to be. Like I said, I had Wednesday morning and I said, you know what? Let's go into this workout room. And
and then another day I'll play with my Ninja Turtle.
Yeah. Another day, Ninja Turtle
play action figures.
Yeah. Boy band dance.
Yeah. Luke, I wanted to ask you about the song Silence is Shameful. I know this is one that's got a strong online presence through a video, not related to the 8 and 8 project, not related to your CD. Let's talk about that tune a little bit.
Yeah, well, it was a song that I had written a number of years ago, and I just hadn't a place for it. I was making a record at the time, and there was no place for this song, for kind of the style, for the content. And I just kind of stumbled onto some human trafficking facts and started digging more just online, and just kind of became appalled and awestruck at the size of the issue the lives that were being ruined by this this trafficking, you know. So being a songwriter, I mean, I sat down, I wrote this song, and I sat on it for about three or four years because I just didn't have a release, you know. I didn't have just kind of wanted it to be something that was a little bit more than just a, hey, everybody wrote a new song, take a listen. And long story short, I got connected with an organization in DC called International Justice Mission, and you know, basically was able to went into the studio, cut the song, went back up, cut the song in LA, went back up to Flathead Lake actually, and did a music video, released it to not only bring awareness but also part of the proceeds of the song. You know, go straight to International Justice Mission, which is a great organization that mostly is working in third world country situations, but helping with local law enforcement and, you know, helping create better laws to stop traffickers, as well as actually rescuing, you know, leading raids on certain facilities. So it was definitely something that, you know, kind of brooded for a few years because I didn't want to just jump into it and I didn't want to just put it out there nonchalantly. So, yeah, I mean, I've gotten emails, I mean, about, safe houses, that were started because they saw this video and they were just so inspired in Seattle and, you know, even in the Valley for a time, there was one. I think now they moved down to Florida. But so it's been really cool to kind of put it out and watch some of these things kind of unravel.
Shameful.
inside is feeding off innocent lives. Sweep it under and tuck it in. We're dealing flesh, we're trading sin. When innocence is commodity, yeah, we pick our fruit while it's still green. 1 million songs, 1 million wrongs. Our silence is shameful. 1 million sound, 1 million down. Our silence is shameful.
Luke, I'm thinking as we're talking here that of all the things we've talked about, I never really got a feel for when you actually started playing music out. And we talked about your early influences growing up and the stuff that you heard and absorbed.
Right.
But at what point did you say, okay, now I'm going to take all that and I'm going to do my own thing and move forward and start writing my own music?
Well, technically, I guess it would be in high school. I went to high school in Japan and there was a talent show, and I got a group of guys together, and I really wanted to sing. I wanted to be that lead guy, you know. I wanted to, but got stage fright, and we played the music, and because we had no singer, they didn't accept us. You know, it was a tryout for the talent show. Didn't have enough talent for the show, I guess. But that was the point where, you know, I kind of said, I want to do this, and I'm going to get past this kind of stage fright thing, I guess. And so from then on, you know, once I moved from Japan to Montana, and I had this kind of, I'm putting a band together when I get to this new place. And at the time, I was really into ska and you know, just that horns, the carryover from kind of the big band records. And there wasn't too many people when I moved up to Kalispell to finish out high school, senior year, and that really were familiar with ska. Everybody really, they knew swing, but they didn't know ska. And so I convinced a trio of horn players, Barry Sachs, a trombone and trumpet player, to show up for a new swing band that I was starting.
Got snuck it in on them, huh?
Snuck it in on them. So once they got there, of course, because you know, I was convinced, hey, you guys are going to love this. Once you get here, people are going to, you know, they'll dance to it. It'll be good. And I can remember the first show we did. I'd moved here, like I said, from Japan. You know, weather, we've got rain, but it stays pretty warm. February, I had planned our first show, and nobody, I don't know, maybe they just saw it in my eyes it was going to happen, but nobody told me it might not be a good time to put a show in a barn, because that was
in
where
February?
In February, in February up there, a farmer, one of my friend's dad said that we could use his barn, and I said, well, all right, pack this barn out. It got so hot that, I mean, there was a mayhem going on. It was such a blast, memorable show. That was the first show. And, you know, it was kind of one that even marked in me to a little bit maybe of a rebel who kind of is like, who says I can't do it? Who says I can't do it in February in a barn? Who says I can't live in Kalispell, Montana and have a fulfilling, you know, music career? Who says?
LukeDowler.com is the website that you can go to find out more about Luke's music. Polarized is the most recent CD release, but we also want to direct people to the website so they can check out the videos and songs from the 8 and 8 project, as well as the video and music for Silence is Shameful. thanks so much for making time to come by and talk shop with us here on Musician Spotlight. And
yeah, thanks for having me.
Being that you're just up the road a little bit, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk shop again.
That sounds great. Would love to.
This is John Floridas. You've been listening to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today has been Luke Dowler. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also find us online at our own website, musicianspotlight.org, and as well on Facebook. Our program is now available as a downloadable podcast from those websites as well as from iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.